This is the Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for listening on this Saturday morning. I know it's early, but it's always fun to talk about libations here on the Book Club at 91.7, and we will be talking about beer with Jeff Allworth next. The Beer Bible, the essential beer lover's guide, including more than 100 types to know, arranged style by style, available in bookstores now. Jeff Allworth, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you call it the Beer Bible, but I have to say, boy, there's history in here, there's science, there's some of the aesthetics and magic of brewing. How do you describe this to folks when they're asking what you do for a living, Jeff?
I just tell them I write about beer, and then if they give me a glazed look, then I stop there, and if their eyes brighten, then we go a little deeper.
I see. Well, how do you describe the Beer Bible? Because it is kind of a reference book, but there's history in here. I mean, some really fascinating stories.
Yeah. Beer is a wonderful world that is just absolutely full of wonderful stories. I don't know when I started it that I was thinking that it was going to be a collection of stories like that, but it really kind of turned out that way. When I was writing at the chapter on mild ale, which is this sort of obscure English beer that's not made so much anymore, it's not very full flavored. It's 3.5% alcohol. It's a brown ale, but it doesn't have a lot of roasty flavors. It's a very mild is a good description for the kind of beer. And I was trying to figure out how to make this chapter interesting. And it didn't have a lot of oomph. It wasn't one of your big personality beers. So I was digging around, looking at how the beer was brewed. When I was in England, I talked to some of the brewers who make this beer, looking into the history. And then it just kind of cohered in my mind that of all the styles that were brewed in England, almost all of them left the island. You know, they were it was the world's great brewing country for a couple hundred years, except mild. Mild never left. Like it was never popular anywhere else, and that was my intro. And I thought, so that's a riddle. What's that all about? And then I started digging around and figuring it out, and then I got to know mild, and I realized that it was this style that's just quintessentially English. And that was the moment that I think I had an inkling that this book would be more about the personalities of these beers, kind of like little biographies, than it would be a dry kind of, you know, description of flavors and types.
I loved how you have arranged it, and you make it clear in the introduction. You've arranged it by geography, because beer is very, and I didn't think about this until I read the Beer Bible, very geographically oriented, the styles of beers around the world.
Yeah, you know, with globalization, this effect is a little bit weaker. We now can purchase ingredients from around the world to make beer. But beer is very old, 8,000 years or more. And the thing that always defined the beer that was brewed locally was the ingredients that were available locally. So it is very much a product of place. It's an agricultural product. And the flavors that contribute to these styles, these things that we know, pilsners and mild ale and porters and stouts, those all had their foundation in ingredients that were available locally. When you go back, when you follow that story back far enough.
And the trip around the world, it makes so much sense. I mean, did it click for you right away? Was this, as you've been writing about beer, something that you became readily apparent that beer is so geographically based, or that the different tastes and styles of beer are?
I appreciated it in the abstract, but I didn't really understand what a deep part of the story of beer it was going to be until I started traveling to Europe. I had read some of the things about the beers, and I think I had thought of it more in terms of the way the brewers had developed their craft, and didn't really think about the larger context of the history of the beer, the particular context of the nation. I learned that things like war had a big effect. When I was in Belgium, one of the first breweries I went to, it was an old brewery, and I at that point had seen a number of old European breweries, and I asked, you know, how old is this equipment? And he said, it's from 1920. And we talked a little bit, and he said, oh yeah, you won't find anything that's older than 1920 in Belgium, because in World War I, the German army sacked all the breweries and melted them down for ammunition. So there's no breweries in Belgium that are older than the 1920s, because they were all replaced after that. So that was just a fascinating story, and it's typical of when you're, you know, when you're in a place and all of a sudden, you know, even World War One can seem a little bit distant to an American because it happened elsewhere, but it's still very present there. You know, every time they walk into the brewery, they might think of that history.
Jeff Allworth, author of The Beer Bible, the essential beer lover's guide, including more than 100 types to know, arranged style by style. It's a reference book. It's a history book full of legends and amusing anecdotes. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And I love how you start out with knowing beer and the history of beer. You mentioned beer is very old, and beer goes back, what, 10,000 years?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back before human civilization. People were making it out of wild grain, so it goes back far enough that, you know, we don't have written histories. It's archaeological stuff, so it becomes a little bit murky when you go that far back. But yeah, probably 10,000 years, give or take.
In knowing beer, in part one of the Beer Bible, you do end with tasting beer like a brewer. So many folks have heard about the sniff and swirl of wine. Talk about how to taste beer like a brewer.
Yeah, so the reason I titled it that, just to give a little background, is brewers know about beer in a way that we laymen don't know about beer. And because I write about beer, I've had an opportunity to watch a number of brewers taste beer. And when they go through the process of tasting it, they can pick out not only the ingredients and the specific ingredients, the types of malts and hops and the yeast type, but they can tell how the beer was made because of the compounds in the beer. They can tell whether it's got off flavors, you know, chemical processes that happened that produced these subtle flavors that a layman might not notice. So brewers, they're really worth watching. They have this amazing sense of the beer. So how can we taste beer like a brewer? It's a process. It's a little bit of a forensic process. You want to take all your senses and bring them to bear on the beer, and that starts with your eyes. It starts even long before you bring your nose and mouth into it. When you pour out a beer, you can tell there's the color. So color comes from the malt, so that'll tell you roughly which kind of malts you're dealing with. You can kind of tell from the viscosity, you know, if it glops out like syrupy glops, if it's very heavy beer like that, or if it pours out more like water, it's a thinner beer, that'll tell you something. You can tell a lot from the head, the way it foams up or doesn't foam up. You can tell carbonation level. You may be able to tell something about whether it's got a lot of things called head grains, which allow it to build a thick, rich, creamy head. So you can tell a lot from looking at it. Then you bring your nose into the mix, give it a sniff, and you'll smell all these different compounds that, again, tell you if it's a hoppy beer or a yeasty beer or a malty beer. These are kind of the three main flavor categories, and each brewery or each beer style is accented towards one of these. Your nose will immediately pick that up. So then by the time you're tasting it, you've already got all this information in your head, and when you taste it, taste is a really interesting thing. I started reading about the science of taste, and our mouth is an amazing sensory evaluation chamber. We know it has taste buds, but it also has nerve endings that can tell sensation. So like, you know, if you taste mint or chili peppers, there's that chemical thing. We have nerves that tell the weight of a beverage. So like if you have water in your mouth, you can tell that just by swishing it around in your mouth versus milk, which is heavier and thicker. We have taste buds we have things that can evaluate that. And then, of course, we have the flavor. And when you put a beer in your mouth, aroma goes up the back of your nose at the same time that you taste it. And that fusion of taste and aroma gives you a sense of the flavor of the beer. All of these things will tell you a lot once the beer finally gets in your mouth. And you'll get a much fuller sense of all those flavors that are present in a beer. And then even after you swallow the beer, we're not wine drinkers here. We never spit out, because you swallow the beer, you get a thing called aftertaste. And that's the kind of vapors that remain in your mouth. And that will tell you even more about the beer. It will tell you if it was a dry beer or if it was a very alcoholic beer, a very hoppy beer. Some of those aromas will just remain in your mouth, and you can continue to evaluate the beer even after you've swallowed it.
I love your borrowing quote from Leo Tolstoy, where you said all good beers are good in their own way, but all bad beers are alike. What makes a bad beer a bad beer? And I also like how you reassure the reader that, you know, it's not always your palate. Yes, sometimes beer is bad.
That's right. Yeah, I think one reason I wrote the book, or one of the messages in the book, is trust your palate. Enjoy the beer you like. Don't get bullied into thinking you have to like some other beer that you don't like. And if you think a beer is bad, don't assume that it's your fault as a taster. There are some bad beers out there. And when you go, especially with so many new breweries in the world making so many different kinds of beers, some of them are just not going to work. And that may not be your fault as a taster. It may well be the beer. So bad beers are, I think they come in a couple of different categories. One is there's something wrong with them. We've all cooked things that don't work. You know, we burned the roast, or we did something, the souffle fell, whatever it is. That can happen to beer too. And that's just, it just tastes gross. You know, it tastes, there's something wrong with it. It tastes metallic or funky or just gross. And then the other one is sometimes, especially now that we're having so many new breweries out there trying these different beer styles, they try recipes that don't really work together. And, you know, we've all been in restaurants where a chef has tried some new experimental dish, and it sounds really good in the abstract, and then you taste it, and you think, yeah, it doesn't all come together. That happens in beer, too.
Well, you break up all the types to know and the styles into four beer families: ales, lagers, wheat beers, and tart and wild ales. But you also have included in the Beer Bible, Jeff, food pairings, a guide to beer tourism, some virtual tours of breweries around the world. This is kind of an all-encompassing beer Bible.
I would like this book to be able to answer any question that somebody has about beer. Maybe not a brewer who wants to know something very technical about a chemical compound in a beer, but, you know, for the average reader, any question you would have at all about beer, the way it's brewed, the way it is enjoyed, its history, anything at all about beer. By the way, it goes with food, as you mentioned, where it's drunk and who makes it. All that stuff should be available in one source without having to dig around too much. So that was my guiding light, and I hope I achieved it. There's probably a thing or two that escaped my notice, but I think mostly it's pretty complex.
The question I like to ask a lot is what did you learn while you were writing the Beer Bible? What did you learn about beer you didn't already know, Jeff?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I learned was the importance of national brewing tradition. When I first started the tour, I went to England, and they make this style of beer called cask ale, which is typical in England and that's not really brewed elsewhere. And it's fresh ale that is naturally carbonated in the cask or the keg, and then it's dispensed with its own carbonation. And it has to be drunk really fast because air goes into that cask as it's being poured, and that will spoil the beer after a day or two. So it needs to, it's a beer that's designed to be drunk in the pub, and it's designed to be drunk fresh, and it can't hang around very long. And so the way they make this beer is it's unusual. And I went to the first brewery, and it's this old Victorian brewery, and they make beer basically the same way they made beer 100 years ago. And that was interesting. And I thought, well, you know, English brewers are really quirky, and that's interesting. And then, you know, then I went to Belgium, and they make beer in an entirely different way, and they have their own quirks. And I thought, well, that's really weird. Belgians are kind of weird. That's funny. And then, you know, then I go to Germany, and the Germans make their beer in their own way, and they have their own focus and their own philosophies, and they have some very weird things. And at about that point, I realized, okay, I see all these countries are weird. Like, judged against some kind of platonic ideal, they're all kind of weird. National brewing traditions really matter, and the beers are made differently depending on which country they're made in. And that's even true in the United States. Like, we have, in the 35 years we've been doing this craft beer thing, we've started to develop our own weird quirks. And I think if other brewers from other countries came here, they'd say, whoa, this is really weird. What are you guys doing? So, yeah, that's what I learned, I think, more than anything else.
Well, I learned a lot reading the Beer Bible. Thanks for putting it all between two covers, Jeff. Appreciate it.
I thank you for having me. This was a wonderful chat.
Jeff Allworth, the author of the Beer Bible, the essential beer lover's guide, including more than 100 types to know, arranged style by style. You can learn more about his work and the Beer Bible at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7. I'm thirsty.